Well, good morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 4 this morning. And I know some of you might be thinking right now, what does 2 Corinthians have to do with Christmas, right? Well, bear with me and you'll find out. Amen? That's just the way that works. But again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're looking at the light of God's glory this morning. The light of God's glory. During the Christmas season in 1879, there was an agnostic reporter from Boston. Now, an agnostic is a person who, it's not that they completely deny the existence of God, but they say that there's just not enough evidence to prove that there is a God. And this reporter, he saw these three little girls who were standing in front of a store window filled with toys. And he heard two of them describing all these toys to the other one. You see, the third friend was blind. She couldn't see them. And so these two friends, they were describing in complete detail what these toys looked like so this friend could understand what they were seeing. You know, this man, he had never considered how difficult it was to explain to someone without sight what something looks like. You ever thought about that? That incident became the basis of his newspaper story that week. Well, 2 weeks later, that same reporter, he attended a meeting where D.L. Moody was supposed to be preaching. And he wanted to catch this evangelist in an inconsistency. He was surprised when Moody stood up and began to preach, and he began to use this man's own account of these two little children to explain to why that the world is having such difficulty with understanding God's Word. Moody said this. He said, "Just as the blind girl couldn't visualize the toys, so an unsaved person can't see Christ in all His glory." You see, that's the problem. You see, on that first Christmas, so many years ago, only a few people really understood who Jesus was. Many heard the reports of the shepherds. They were amazed by what was being said, but they didn't view the baby in the manger as the Son of God. Many still don't. This morning, as we look at our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, in a message that's entitled The Lights of God's Glory, it's my hope that you will more fully understand why the real meaning of Christmas still escapes so many people today. That true meaning that really is here to bring us the light of God's glory. That meaning that should bring us to celebrate this morning. So to begin with, then, it's helpful to see that the main reason that the meaning of Christmas escapes people still today is because we have blinded minds. We have blinded minds. In verse 3 of our text this morning, it explains why the gospel story doesn't always change lives, even though it has the power to do so. It says this, and says, "And even if our gospel is veiled," it says, "it is veiled to those who are perishing." Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, this gospel for which we claim such a unique power has been ineffective in the case of the majority of those who hear it. Think about how many times the gospel is shared every day by missionaries and evangelists and pastors and others around the world, and how few times it has an impact. Think about how many times we read in God's Word, how often Paul proclaimed it enthusiastically, but yet we still find out that people didn't respond. The fault, however, is not in the gospel or with its preaching, but in those who have failed to discern its glory. You see, it's not because the gospel's revelation is obscure and difficult to grasp. That's not the reality. But because people prefer to be blinded by their sin. They're blinded by their self. They're blinded by Satan.
You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, submission to the Holy Spirit has to occur before we ever comprehend what's in God's Word. And until we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, we're blinded spiritually. We will not understand what the Spirit is trying to convey to us through His Word. It was the Spirit that inspired God's Word. It is the Spirit that guided their hands to produce what we study each and every Sunday. And so it is with the Spirit that we can understand it. But without it, it becomes foolishness. It's folly if we don't have the power of the Spirit inside of us. That's why the Bible tells us that the Spirit must draw us to Himself. You know, since the time of Adam and Eve, the devil has used sin as a way to place a veil over man's eyes. He uses sin to cloud our understanding. He does this so people will experience spiritual blindness. But that's why the Holy Spirit is so important to the work of sharing the gospel. Only the Holy Spirit can lift the veil over our spiritual, off of our spiritual eyes. Now, verse 4 indicates that it's the devil who blinds people's minds in the gospel. You know, look at verse 4. Because in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there's another power at work. A natural man, right? We don't see spiritual reality because Satan has put blinders on us. Satan is so effective at dominating our thinking that he blinds us from the light of God's glory. According to God's word, the God of this age is the devil, whose activity is actually characterized by hidden things of shame, by craftiness, by deceitfulness, and by blinding people's minds from the light of the gospel. You know, when by unbelief one turns from the one true God, and instead turns, in a sense, and it's a fitting week for this, to the dark side, right? When we turn from the light to the dark side, our mind is blinded by that. In contrast, Christ is the very image of God. The idea is that He is the exact representation, He is the exact manifestation of God the Father. Jesus said in John 14:9, He said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. If I am the Father, I will." You see, Christ is the invisible God made visible. He is God the Spirit in human flesh. God's truth was brought into the minds of men through Christ Jesus, the light of the world, the visible image. Back in the late 1800s, there was a man by the name of Walter B. Simpson. He was a pastor. He told the story of a friend who worked at an ice station. Then this took me to be right up your alley, but one day Simpson stopped by his hacker team. He found that the guy was very excited. The doctor answered this. He said, if you take an elderly man with him, he said, he's not seen a flower or a gift of his children, believer.
Yeah, but this one got left on, so it might have been transmitting on the same frequency. Anyway, so in verse 6, look at it with me. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in the hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The fact that the light will shine out of darkness alludes to the creation account in Genesis 1, verse 3. You see, the Word of God, it spoke to the light so that it would shine in the darkness. You see, the gospel is intended to do in human hearts what creation of light did in the darkened chaos of creation. You see, the earth was formless and void, is what we read in Genesis chapter 1. Until God acted and brought light out of darkness, He spoke it into existence. He's doing the same in us. He's creating in us a light that should shine in the darkness of our hearts. Just as God created the world, He now makes believers into a new creation. When Jesus Christ shines in our hearts, then and only then can we be saved. Left to ourselves, the sinner can only stumble into eternal darkness. If we're left alone, if we're left to ourselves, we will never generate the light. It always comes from Christ alone. We can never do it. God enlightens our entire being, morally, intellectually, and spiritually. Without Him, there is nothing. Think about it this way. What do miners wear when they go into the mine? A helmet, right? Because they don't want anything falling on their heads. And what's attached to the helmet? A light. Why? Because it's dark in there, right? Otherwise, they would run into the wall. They wear these lamps on their foreheads to see their way in the darkness in order to find their way back to the light. Church, as Christians, in the same way, we carry Christ in our hearts so that we can see our way in the darkness and find our way back to the light of God's glory. Paul was a man who was changed by this great light. Think about it. The focus of Paul's life, it developed out of having seen for himself the full glory of God in the face of Christ. This initially took place on the Damascus Road. And in Paul's encounter with Jesus, he received the light of life. His life was changed forevermore. And from that point on, he lived to shine that same light onto other people, to demonstrate who Jesus was. Church, we share with others what has made an impact on our lives. That's the reality. Things that leave a lasting impression on us, we end up sharing with others. We share with them what is most important to us. We share it enthusiastically, especially if something has transformed our lives. Do you agree with that? Yeah? Think about what you read and share on Facebook. You know, I just this week, I read about the movies people watched, what your grandchildren or children were up to, whose birthday it was, who graduated, what your favorite sports team was doing or not doing, rants about other people, your favorite hobbies or types of music, and everything in between. And I get it. These are things that are important to you. But how important is your salvation? When was the last time you shared it with someone else? When was the last time you posted about that on Facebook so your Facebook friends understand who you really are and what means most in your life? Think about that for a minute. The truth is, the human heart can be a closed and dark place. Even as a Christian, we still battle with the flesh. We still have that darkness seeping its way out of our pores. It's there. And every day we are to battle it with the illuminating knowledge of the glory of God. We're to battle it by allowing the light into our hearts to continue to grow. The challenge is that we need to be shining the light of Christ, not only at Christmas time, but continually throughout our entire lives. That's our goal. Church, God has made the ultimate truth available. Billy Graham would often say it this way. He said, "You have two sets of ears, your physical ears with which you're hearing what I'm saying to you right now, and your spiritual ears with which you hear what God says to you." When the gospel is shared in power, God uses it to shine the light where before there was only darkness. I was reading a story about a light in preparation for this morning, and I learned that Benjamin Franklin's day, you know, as you can only imagine, it was dark, especially in places like Philadelphia where there's a lot going on. There was no lights, and so people would stumble around in the darkness. You know, most of the streets in that day weren't paved really well like what ours are, and so they have to avoid potholes and rocks. And so Franklin decided that it would be a good idea, and it would set a good example for his fellow Philadelphians if he placed a lantern outside of his home. As people stumbled down the street at night, they would come to the oasis of light and realize the blessing it was. Soon, other people in the community were putting lanterns out in front of their houses. After sunset, the whole village became a place of illuminated safety, all because one person decided to be the light in the darkness. Church, the world around us is a place filled with rocks and potholes, a spiritual ignorance. And for many people, the aimlessness of their existence, it leads them to unspoken despair. They don't know how to live. They don't know how to get through life. Church, we can't single-handedly drive back the darkness. We can't do it alone. Not everywhere. But we can do something significant here. We can do something significant where we live, where we work, where we go to school. We can let our redeemed, Christ-ignited lives serve as lanterns of light. Our Savior commands it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, He tells us to let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. This isn't if you want to. This is a command. We're challenged to live out our lives in front of others in such a way that they see the light of God's glory. And so instead of bemoaning the darkness and complaining all the time, we can show the way to those around us. We can't do that when we're moaning and groaning. We can't do that when we're always upset at every little thing. We can't get up. We can't do that when the microphone is acting crazy on a Sunday morning. We all sit there and think about that instead of the words. We can't do that when we're at Christmas time and the family doesn't act and behave like we think they should. We can't do that when our frustration in traffic takes over. Amen? That's mine. We can't do that when we live as if we don't have the light. See, the reality is the light should change us. The reality is the light should take the dirtiness, the filthiness in our hearts and change it to where we can shine out Christ's light. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about how we behave or what we desire. It's about how we portray Christ in our lives to others. And as Christ shines through us, lost souls who are stumbling around in the darkness are going to be attracted to the one who is the light of the world. Remember, the smallest light still shines in the darkest night. Anytime you're in a pitch black, if a light is turned on, it will always drive the darkness away. Today, millions are unaware, though, of the true identity of who Jesus is because they're spiritually blind. Satan has pulled the veil down over their eyes. Here in Macomb and in the surrounding areas, thousands. I think the last thing I saw was 18,000 people just in this county are completely unaware of the true identity of who Jesus is. If that describes you, ask God to open your eyes. Believe that the Lord of glory died for your sins. Then, trust Him. Trust that He's going to do everything He said He will do. Your eyes will be opened. You'll recognize who He really is. Then, as you come to know Christ this Christmas, you'll understand why we as Christians celebrate Christmas instead of winter break. why we celebrate Christmas instead of saying happy holidays. Because it's about Christ. Church, let me ask. Is the glory of God in the person of Jesus the image that you're looking at when you look in the mirror? Is His image who you're being transformed into? Is the light of God's glory displaying Jesus to you? Are you shining the light of Christ's glory onto others? This is our calling. So let me challenge you. If you possess the light of Christ, then share it with others. Pray that the Father of light will enlighten your mind and your heart to see the miraculous things that exist beyond this earthly darkness that we live in. Will you do that? Will you let the light of God's glory shine in you this Christmas? Whether it be with friends, whether it be with family, no matter who or what is placed in your path, no matter how stressed out you become, no matter how alone you feel, no matter what keeps trampling down on your back and on your shoulders, will you still let the light of God's glory shine in you this Christmas? You know, I think about sometimes the pressures that we deal with, the stress that we deal with. And then the Holy Spirit kicks in. And He reminds me of what Jesus dealt with. He reminds me of what Paul dealt with. He reminds me of what many of the apostles bore and went through. What all of the men of old and women of old went through. The persecutions. What people still today on the mission field deal with. And I'm reminded about how selfish I can be. Because my present sufferings amount to nothing in comparison to that of Christ. He is the light of the world. You talk about joy this morning. That should be the source of our joy. That's the reason for Christmas. Will you let your light shine? Let's pray together. Father, I ask You this morning to allow us to have our light shine. You know, we get stressed out when things don't go our way. We often become selfish, especially, you know, we talk about it's better to give than receive, but in our hearts, deep down, we also believe that we like to receive things. But Lord, I know that what You've called us to is to be joyous. What You've called us to is to love You and to share what You've done with others. But sometimes we allow the darkness to reign and to rule in our hearts. We allow the darkness to reign and rule in our churches. We allow the darkness to reign and rule in our homes. We feel so lost at times that we think that there's no way back. Lord, there are some that have never seen Your light. Help us to not be selfish with it. Help us to share it. Help us to know that You are the Lord of all, the glorious impossible, the One with whom we need to bow and to worship and to praise. Lord, help us, as the song we're about to sing says, to surrender all. Lord, that's our prayer. That we can become the people You have chosen us to be. And we pray that in Jesus' name.